Adventure Box Max presents Me, Class President? Written by Florence Mottot. Illustrated by Zoe Plan. Chapter 1. The First Day of Year 6. It all began on the morning we went back to school. I had just one more hour before I started Year 6 and met my new teacher. I felt dizzy just thinking about it. I would have given anything for the holidays to continue. Whenever I'm upset, I have a remedy. I take out my writer's notebook, a black notepad, and I write down whatever is on my mind. My brother Theo says that it's a nerd thing, but I find that writing is relaxing. So that morning, I picked up my notebook and a pen and started composing a poem. I planned to call it My Catastrophic First Day of School because I wanted to dedicate it to my cat, Gavin. He's a lucky cat, all right. He walks around whenever he feels like walking around. He sleeps whenever he feels like sleeping. No one forces him to do anything, especially not sit through grammar or math lessons. I was in full creation mode when a voice echoed through the apartment. Gabriel, hurry up! It was Mum. I put down my notepad and left my bedroom. In the hallway, I crossed my fingers and hoped that something would prevent me from going to school. Something like a little earthquake that wouldn't cause too much damage. A mini disaster. That's when the smell of burning tickled my nostrils. I thought, there! Grandpa's old coffee machine has short-circuited. A short circuit can cause a small fire. A fire is a good excuse for missing school. I rushed to the kitchen. There, I saw Theo buttering toast. The suspicious smell came from his burnt toast. My imagination had got carried away. I was out of luck. I'd have to go to school. Seeing me look downcast, Mum put exclamation marks in her voice, the way she does when she speaks to my little cousin. It's the big day today. You must be so proud. This year, you'll be one of the big kids at your school. I was proud of reading a 400-page book during the holidays, not of going into Year 6. To please her, I replied, the Year 2s are going to bow down to me now. She laughed. I wondered if I was really capable of impressing a Year 2. I didn't impress many people at school, especially not Sidonie, a girl my age who bosses everyone around. Mum placed a hand on my forearm. Despite my efforts, she could see I wasn't feeling great. The first day is always difficult, but it'll all work out, she murmured. I reassured her. Sure it will. I'm in Year 6 now. I looked at Gavin. He was stretching out in front of the heater and purring. I sure would have liked to go and hide on the building's rooftop with him. But human life doesn't work that way. There are rules and obligations to respect, as the school head, Mrs. Havistock, always reminds us. So I picked up my school bag and got in the car. After a few minutes in the car, Mum stopped in front of the school's big green gate. I opened the gate and went inside. It wasn't the moment to turn back now. At the entrance, Mrs. Havistock greeted me kindly. Hello, Gabriel. Well, I mumbled, lowering my eyes. I ran to the schoolyard to find Tina and Candice. They were easy to spot. They had the same school bags as last year.
We're the big kids at school this year,
they yelled as they saw me arrive. That same phrase again. It was unbelievable that no one seemed to understand that there'd be secondary school after primary school, with more homework to do, more lessons to learn, and even less time to do what we like. There was no reason to rejoice. And the icing on the cake? Sidonie stopped by our group and said, Look, I've got a new bag. She turned around for us to admire it, then, without waiting for any comments, she left to join two girls near the gym.
She's going to put on her show again like last year, Tina predicted.
bell rang. Our class gathered in the middle of the schoolyard. A woman we didn't know came towards us and began to speak. "My name is Miss Merrill. I'm replacing Mrs. Penny, who, as you all know, retired last year." We picked up our bags and followed our new teacher. At the other end of the yard, she took a key out of her jacket and opened the Year 6 classroom.
"Shall we sit at the same table?" Tina suggested to me.
Behind us, Candice protested.
"What about me? I'm going to be all alone."
Miss Merrill didn't leave us any time to organise ourselves. She took the class list and seated us in alphabetical order, which meant that I found myself sitting next to my nightmare, Sidonie. My first day in Year 6 was off to a bad start. Chapter 2. Gabriel Will Run for President. It was only the start of my problems. I placed my things on my desk, taking care not to stray onto Sidonie's side. My neighbour placed her ruler in the middle of our desk to mark out her side.
"Psst, Gabriel," Candice whispered. "Don't worry, we're bound to be able to change seats sometime this year."
"Your attention, please," the teacher exclaimed. "I'm going to present you our programme for this year now." She spoke for at least half an hour about maths, reading, history and geography. At the end of her speech, my neighbour raised her hand.
"Teacher, when will we elect our class presidents?"
Miss Merrill said, "Next month." This got everyone's attention, and the class stirred with excitement, except for me. I glanced out the window while waiting for the discussion to end. Workers were digging a hole in the street. But during the lunch break, I asked Candice, "Are you voting for Sidonie?"
"Aren't you?"
"Meh," I replied. "She's been the class president since year 2, and there are still as many fights in the schoolyard."
"How about you? Don't you want to run for class president?" my friend suggested.
"Me? I didn't have the right profile. I was terrible at public speaking. I spent most of my time reading and inventing stories, and, above all, I was far from popular. I only had 2 friends, the same ones since year 2. There was no way I'd be chosen as class president, so it was out of the question that I make a fool of myself in an election. Except that instead of saying no, I said nothing."
"Gabriel's going to run for president," my friend interpreted.
"He's a champ," Tina cheered. They were screaming like 2 groupies, so loud that in no time at all, the whole school had heard. I was so stunned that I could do nothing but smile stupidly. That's how everyone came to believe that I was going to be a candidate in the class president election. Ever since that morning, things had been going way too fast for me. When the bell rang, I sat back down next to Sidonie. She stared at me for ages, then whispered,
"If you think you can replace me, then you're dreaming."
All of a sudden, I felt stressed. I jotted down in my homework diary, "Build a rocket and fly far away." Sidonie leaned over to try and decipher my writing.
"Build what?" she asked.
I crossed out my phrase. Too late. Sidonie signalled to Hector, the class's basketball champion, and whispered,
"Hey, Gabriel thinks he's a Martian. Who would vote for an extraterrestrial?"
I was about to protest when Miss Merrill looked at us severely and said, "No more chatting." Chapter 3. Official Candidate. At 3:45, I packed my things away quickly. I was the first to leave the school, and I didn't wait for Tina and Candice. I was in a hurry to get back home, to see my cat and my notebook again. In the living room, my brother Theo was sprawled in an armchair, watching a quiz show on television.
"How's it going, broccoli boy?"
he asked when he saw me. He loves giving me silly nicknames. "I was asked to be the Year 6 class president," I announced, watching closely for his reaction.
"You, class president? Hmm,"
my brother muttered. "Don't take it wrong, but in my opinion, that's not really your scene." That's exactly what I feared. I went to my bedroom. Gavin was lying peacefully on my blanket. As for me, I was anything but relaxed. I started writing about my day in my notebook as I waited for Mum to get back from work. At 7 o'clock, Mum arrived home. During dinner, I didn't talk about the elections. I wasn't going to tell them about how Sidney called me a Martian, but Theo let it slip.
"Did the squirt tell you that his class wants him to be the class president?"
It was mainly Tina and Candice, to be precise, but I hadn't been that precise about it. Mum's face lit up.
"Well done, Gabriel."
She seemed really proud, so I did what I'd done at school. I smiled stupidly. After the meal, I went to brush my teeth. Theo stuck his head through the bathroom door.
"You're too caught up in your own world. You'll never be elected," he declared.
"Leave me alone," I mumbled, my mouth full of toothpaste. In my bedroom, I took out my writer's notebook and wrote Theo in big letters a few times. Then I crossed everything out to make myself feel better and went to bed feeling lighter. When I woke up, the knot in my stomach returned. As I arrived at school, my heart began to race. In the schoolyard, Sidney was talking with two girls from my class. As soon as she saw me, that troublemaker cried out, "Hey, Martian, have you landed back on Earth?" I ignored her, but she kept on following me.
"Do you have a program for our class? A campaign slogan?"
I started to panic. "Yes, that's right. All that stuff is needed." Theo was right. This wasn't my scene. Luckily, Tina came to my rescue.
"Gabriel reads tons of books. He's got tons of imagination. And when someone has tons of imagination, they've got tons of ideas. His program will knock you out."
That was pure Tina. 100% friendship, 100% enthusiasm, 0% common sense. During the grammar lesson, I couldn't stop thinking, I'm not made to be a class president. There was still time to stop it all. Mum would be disappointed. So would Tina and Candice. But the teacher wasn't aware of anything yet. At that very moment, Miss Merrill asked for a volunteer to come to the blackboard. I lowered my eyes shyly.
"Me," Sidney volunteered.
As she got up, my neighbour looked at me challengingly. She corrected the exercise in front of everyone, without stuttering or shaking. The teacher praised her.
"Excellent work. Well done. You can sit back down."
Sidney sat in her seat, making victory signs. Then she leaned towards me and whispered,
"So, who's the best?"
What a show-off. At the end of the lesson, Miss Merrill spoke about the election again. "Next month, 4 people have to be elected, 2 co-presidents and a deputy for each." Sidney sat straight up in her chair.
"Miss, I'm a candidate."
"Me too,"
Fathia announced. The teacher needed more names, at least 6 or 7. Anyone could become a candidate as long as they were prepared to take the role of president seriously. It was a matter of representing the class in front of the adults at school and proposing projects.
"Any boys?"
Miss Merrill asked. I slid down low in my chair so that I'd be forgotten. But Tina turned towards me and shouted,
"Gabriel!"
I didn't want to look like a chicken, so I allowed my name to go on the list. There was a burst of whispering in the classroom. Then 6 hands shot up in the air almost simultaneously. It seemed like my candidacy had unblocked the situation. Now there were 9 of us candidates. I couldn't turn back now. During the break, my 2 friends took me aside to talk.
"You've got to beat Sidonie," said the first.
"She's such a boaster,"
the second declared. I groaned.
"But I've never been a class president before, and I don't have any ideas for the class."
"Rubbish," Tina exclaimed. "You don't have ideas because you don't want to think about it, but you're capable of it because you're smart. Everyone knows that, and you always have excellent grades."
Ever since Tina had come over to my place once and seen the big bookshelf in the living room, she'd been convinced that I'm a genius, born into a family of geniuses.
"But no,"
I protested, feeling embarrassed.
"Stop having doubts," Tina replied. "You've got time to define a program. I'll come over to your place to help you, okay?"
I nodded, because it's true that Sidonie needs to be taught a lesson. Chapter 4. Finding a Program. The next morning, the doorbell rang. Tina was here. Mum called out to Theo, who was in his bedroom.
"I'm off to work. Gabriel and Tina are in the living room."
"Okay," my brother replied. "They'd better behave well. I have chemistry homework to do." The door slammed. Tina paused in front of our bookshelf. She looked entranced. "What are you doing?" I asked her.
"This is a paradise," she exclaimed. "Don't you have a book on elections?"
I shrugged. "A book on elections? What would be the use of that?"
"To find ideas to get you elected."
Tina really wanted me to win.
"How about you? Why aren't you a candidate?" I asked her. "I don't know," she replied. "I'm not like you. I don't have all this."
She made a sweeping motion with her hand to point at the bookshelf. What did she mean? Sure, our house had many books, but I wasn't any better than her. I reassured her. "I've got books, but you're curious and always ready to take on any project. You could be a good president. Why should it be me?"
"Because you read so much and you're a fast thinker. You should share that with other people."
I pursed my lips in doubt. "Sidonie has been elected since year 2 because she talks loud and is less shy than everyone else. That's the only reason."
"Do you think you won't be elected because you're shy?"
my friend asked. "I might have plenty going on in my mind, but no one notices me at school. Theo can't stop saying that I'm on another planet. So, you see, I'm not sure I'll win." My friend continued.
"The problem with Sidonie is that she can't stand it when others disagree with her. She wants to be the boss all the time. You, though, you're discreet and you listen to other people. You know how to keep secrets."
"That's true," I admitted. Perhaps that was what I should highlight to my classmates. I took a piece of paper to note down what Tina had just said. Suddenly, I felt less stressed. So I took a comic book from the bookshelf and suggested that Tina and I read it together. We had come up with a starting point for my program. We could finish it later. Time flew by until Theo popped his head in the living room.
"It's nearly lunchtime. What do you want to eat?"
He prepared a huge pan of buttered pasta. After the meal, it was time to get to work. When we went into my bedroom, Gavin rubbed himself against my legs and meowed.
"Meow."
"I love cats," my friend said.
We patted him a bit, and then I took out my writer's notebook and a 4-coloured pen. On a new page, I wrote in green, "Election Program." It was a good start. "Let's write it together," I said.
Tina looked up to try and get inspiration from above, but nothing fell from the ceiling. Come on, we need to use our brains a bit, I laughed. Chapter 5. Tons of Ideas. We started off by looking for serious ideas, but very quickly our conversation returned to the subject of Sydney. We let our imaginations go wild. Thanks to the notebook, we pictured her eating a kilo of cauliflower. My favourite idea was to send her off to space. Her turn to be a Martian.
Serves her right, Tina exclaimed.
We dispatched that show off to a strange planet inhabited by hideous extraterrestrials with tubes on their heads. At 5 o'clock, my mother arrived home. It was too early.
We haven't written any program yet, I grumbled.
Tina is welcome to come back any time, Mum promised, and my friend blushed.
After she left, I was so excited by how my day had gone that my mother wanted to read our stories. So did Theo. Mum sat in the living room with my notebook while I stood next to the couch, watching for her reaction. My heart was beating as fast as it does before a maths test. After a few minutes, my mother turned to me and declared, her eyes twinkling,
"My, my, what an imagination! Where do you get all these ideas from? In any case, if this Sydney continues to bother you this year, you should tell me about it. I'll discuss it with your teacher."
That's insane. Usually no one cares about my problems with Sydney, but because I'd written them down, they had become important. That must be why people become writers, I thought. This thought sent me floating on a cloud. Unfortunately, I soon came back down to earth. As I prepared my school bag, I realised I hadn't made much progress. I'd taught Sydney a good lesson, but only on paper. The next morning, I plucked up my courage and went to speak to my classmates during morning break. I'd noted that a good class president should be discreet and a good listener, not a little boss or a policeman. I was sure that this would earn me some points. But at lunchtime, a group formed around me.
"It's not fair if you criticise your opponent," Marie exclaimed.
"That isn't what an election programme is about," Karim added. Sydney had obviously wound them up against me. I was being asked to stay nice, but it was hard because Sydney couldn't stop pestering me, and that didn't seem to bother anyone. It was unfair. I had another idea. Maybe I could hand out sweets so that people would vote for me. No one would complain about that. I asked my two friends what they thought.
"What?" Candice cried out. "That would be cheating."
Tina told me that she couldn't recognise me anymore.
There were 2 weeks left before the election. I was even less popular than before, and I hadn't come up with the slightest idea for a programme.
But sometimes everything changes in a flash. One day after school finished, I went home with Ali and we chatted. I started off by taking my role as a candidate seriously. I tried to be lively and dynamic. I promised him that I'd be a perfect class president. I added that if I was elected, I'd find solutions to all of the class's problems.
"What I'd like," Ali said, "is for the teacher not to give us so much homework."
I didn't know if I could work that type of miracle.
His request left me speechless. I became my old self again. Ali then continued explaining. His mother came home late at night. His grandma took care of him, but she couldn't help him with English because she hadn't learned how to write in our language. She'd grown up in another country.
"Don't tell anyone this, okay?"
he asked me. I swore that it would be our secret. Tina could confirm that I never betrayed my friends. When I got back home, I took out my writer's notebook and jotted down, "Less homework." I was happy that someone had confided in me.
Finally, I could see how I could become a good class president. In the next few days, I listened to other students from my class. "The program is up to you," I explained. I took my notebook to school and noted down ideas shared by other students. Fix the door on the sanitary block. Open a DIY workshop. Organise an end-of-year dance party. I was shy, but by questioning my classmates, I was making progress. Well, almost. During one morning break, Hector came to me to complain.
"How about me?"
he asked.
"You haven't asked me my opinion."
He was annoyed. Sydney butted in and said,
"Gabriel is only interested in his friends."
That was false. Actually, it was because I was so bad at sport that I hadn't dared to speak to the basketball champ. Sydney took advantage of the situation to shine.
"As for me, I'm the candidate for all students," she declared loudly enough for everyone to hear. "I don't believe in clans."
Tina tugged on my arm and whispered in my ear,
"Don't worry. If your program is good, the class will vote for you."
I hoped that she was right. But Sydney was sly, and I was worrying more and more about a whole lot of details that had nothing to do with my program. Was I capable of giving a speech in front of everyone? Was my haircut okay? How about my clothes? On the day before the elections, my stress went up a notch.
"Is my new sweater clean?" I asked Mum.
"No, it's in the dirty linen basket."
Tears came into my eyes.
"Don't be surprised if Sydney wins the elections. She always wears the latest clothes. Maybe that's why she wins every time."
"You're exaggerating," Mum exclaimed. "Appearance isn't everything."
Theo turned nice, it only happens when I cry, and said, "Candice and Tina would vote for you, even if you came to school in pyjamas and socks with holes." He managed to wrench a smile out of me. Still, to stack all the odds in my favour, I took out my pullover that Candice loves. Then I sat on my bed with my cat and my notebook, and I read over everything that I had noted during my electoral campaign. Chapter 6, The Elections. The big day arrived. At school, Sydney was parading around the schoolyard in a new dress. No surprises there. I thought of Theo's words. Even in pyjamas, anything was possible. When the bell rang, we went up to our classroom, and Miss Merrill wrote on the blackboard the names of the candidates. Sydney, Manic, Yanis, Leah, Fathia, Lucas, Nelson, Simon and Gabriel. She called Sydney, the first on the list, to the blackboard. That show-off paraded across the classroom and introduced herself briefly, saying that she loved horse riding and knitting. She knew her speech by heart. She wrote her slogan on the blackboard, "Vote Sydney and wave homework goodbye." Then she announced her programme. It was the same as last year's and was summed up by 3 points. 1. More fries at the canteen. 2. Less homework at the weekend. 3. Football for the girls. Hector clapped. I think he's in love with her. Manic and Yanis spoke second and third. Manic wanted to ban fights during breaks. Yanis suggested that we adopt chickens.
"We'll feed them leftovers from the canteen," he explained.
That chicken idea was fantastic. It was a way to stop throwing food away in the bin. During the speeches, I stopped listening and instead I focused on the list of names on the blackboard. The closer it came to my turn to speak, the more stressed I got. When the teacher called Simon, I felt so weak that it felt like I was fainting. Suddenly the teacher said,
"Gabriel, it's your turn."
I got up, trembling. 28 pairs of eyes observed me. Thankfully, no one started laughing. I held my notebook close to my chest to feel stronger.
"What's that?" Sidonie asked.
It's a book where I've noted down my program for the elections," I stuttered. Miss Merrill came closer and asked, "Can I see?" I held it out to her. She leafed through it quickly, then handed it back to me. "It's a book for writing. Inside, I invent stories, and sometimes I write down what I don't dare say to people," I explained to her. Miss Merrill said, "Gabriel, you should be introducing yourself to your classmates. Go to the blackboard and speak to the class." I stood next to the teacher's desk and tried to talk as loud as Sidonie. "There are also some bits that I wrote with Tina." The class said nothing. All of the students were waiting for me to go on. The silence was overwhelming. I presented my program in one sentence so that I could go back to my seat quickly. "I suggest that all of us write stories together." Miss Merrill noted under my name on the blackboard, "Write stories together." Then she asked, "Can you tell us a bit more?" I began searching for the right words. "We could write things about our class, or else imagine stuff about school, about our dreams." No one made fun of the way I spoke, so as if magically, the rest came out of my mouth all by itself. "If I'm elected, I'll put forward my ideas, but also the ideas of my classmates. During my campaign, I asked around and noted down what people said in my notebook. For example, setting up a vegetable patch in the schoolyard, organising an end-of-year dance party, having less homework." Ali nodded at me. I felt even more confident, and I decided to explain my project again. "What I'd like is for our class to be united. That's why I'm also suggesting that we write together." Sidonie stared at me as if she was seeing me for the first time. She seemed interested. The teacher interrupted me to sum up my idea. She had a few kind words to say after each candidate's speech. "It's true, Gabriel, that your proposal would allow all the students to express themselves and improve their writing skills. Good idea to suggest activities to bring unity to the class." Tina smiled at me. I sat back down, relieved. My hands stopped shaking. The vote started. Miss Merrill reminded us how it would work. We had to vote for two co-presidents, one boy and one girl. To vote, we had to write the names on a piece of paper, then fold it in half. Those coming third and fourth would become deputies and form duos with the two presidents they might have to replace due to illness or absences. I'd already accompanied Mum to a polling station during the last presidential elections. She had voted in a booth closed off by a curtain. No one could see which candidate she'd chosen. At school, it was different. There was no booth. One by one, we got up to deposit our ballot papers in a box on the teacher's desk. Next, two volunteer students started to count the ballot papers. I crossed my fingers. The last couple of weeks had been the most difficult and the least boring period of my school career so far. Now I was sure I really wanted to become class president. The teacher made marks on the blackboard next to each name as the votes were counted. One for Manek, one for Fatia, one for Sidonie. After a while, I had to face the facts. Sidonie was winning.
"Why do you all vote for her?"
Candice asked indignantly.
"Well, she's been class president ever since we were in year two,"
Leah replied. "Yesterday during the break, the others said they'd vote for her. I thought I might as well do the same," Robin murmured. And that's how she came to win again, out of pure habit. Among the boys, Yanis received the most votes. I counted the marks next to the names again. I had 5 votes.
I was 4th. That meant I was going to be a deputy. I couldn't believe it.
The classroom buzzed with comments on the victory of Sidonie and Yanis. "Quiet, please," Miss Merrill exclaimed. "The elections aren't over yet." With a piece of chalk, she circled the names of the students who came 3rd and 4th. Fathia and me, Gabriel. It was official. The announcement of the results set off our chattering again. So the teacher tapped on her desk with her ruler and declared, "Let's take a break. You can go outside for 5 minutes. Chapter 7, Writing Together. Everyone put on their coats. Tina and Candice rushed over to me. I was so thrilled that I stuttered when I told them, "Go ahead, I'll join you." I had to get myself ready. I breathed in deeply to calm myself down. I put my jacket on slowly, then went outside. In the schoolyard, I could see Sidonie's little group huddled together and looking at me. I felt as if they were plotting against me. When Sidonie crossed the yard to come to speak to me, I felt a knot in my stomach. She was going to make fun of me again.
"Do you want to be my deputy?" she asked.
Me? Teaming up with her? It had to be a trap. I thought that I was a Martian, I snapped in reply. Sidonie wasn't fazed.
"Listen, my friends and I have a good story idea for your notebook. Our class could go on an interstellar voyage. We'd visit the planet Mars. And best of all, we'd sleep in a 1,000-star hotel. Get it? 1,000 stars for a hotel in space."
I couldn't believe it. "So, you mean you liked my idea?"
"Let's say you're not what I'd imagined," Sidonie said quietly. "I liked it when you spoke about your notebook in front of the class. In fact, you're funny. I mean, not weird funny, but ha-ha funny. Let's say that I now have a better idea of what's going on in your mind. And I think you've got interesting things to share with us."
The week after, we started to write the story of our Year 6 class. To get to Mars, we'd need to find a spacecraft capable of transporting 29 students and a teacher. We'd also need to find a name for the spacecraft's pilot. Candice had an idea.
"How about Gavin, like Gabriel's cat?"
The whole class liked her suggestion, so Miss Merrill noted it on the blackboard. Robin's face lit up suddenly. On the moon, someone could look at Earth and say, "How on Earth will we get home?" The whole class participated in writing the book, even the shyest students. At the end of the week, Sidonie came to see me. We discussed how we felt about the start of the story. It was the first time we talked. I mean, really talked. It wasn't about the elections or her new school bag. We both had stuff to say. And best of all, Sidonie listened to me. The other day, Mum had a lot to say after she read what I'd written with Tina. She could also speak for a long time about films she had seen at the cinema or on television.
It was unbelievable. Now I understood that people could talk for hours about things that didn't even exist. Now I was proud of having a good imagination, being in my own world, and even sometimes seeming like an extraterrestrial. It was useful for getting people to loosen their tongues. That's what I told Mum when I got home. Well, what I really said was that I no longer wished to be a cat. I don't know if she got what I meant.
That weekend, Tina came over to my place. I gave her a book. Sharing books is really great. And as a matter of fact, in books, the dreamers are often the heroes.
"Can you believe it?" I said. "I'm just a deputy, but we're doing the project that I suggested.
I'd always thought that we never got to do what we wanted at school." We sat down on a rug next to Gavin, and we started to write in my notebook. In the end, Going back to school wasn't catastrophic at all. And I also thought to myself, I hope that Tina and I will invent longer and longer stories. Growing up won't be such a bad thing in that case. Thanks to these incredible elections, I'm already looking forward to moving on to Year 7. The end.